On today's show, the conservatives take over the Senate to push the SAVE Act.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Again, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. It's St. Patrick's Day. President Trump's currently speaking with the Prime Minister of Ireland right now.
That's correct.
That's happening in the White House. Will and I brought up, it's a little strange that it would be like President Trump visiting Ireland on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
That he is there at the White House, but it is happening right now. President Trump got a green tie on. So you know what? He's in the spirit. I got green shoes on for those who don't know. Will, you got a nice,
really got nice,
you got an olive jacket.
Yeah. I found some green for you today.
Yeah. But of course we are talking about the SAVE Act, which has become a big story today, as it seems like, Will, maybe you could summarize all of this. The conservatives are moving forward, but also don't get your hopes up that the SAVE Act is actually going to happen. Another political Washington, D.C. kind of nonsensical move.
That's right. So what we're seeing this week is a move by those that are supportive of the SAVE Act, that want it passed. They are going to have extended debate on this. They're going to take over the Senate floor, and this could go as long as 2 weeks that they're expecting this. What they're going to do is have this extended debate. They're going to have a lot of floor speeches. It's going to look almost like they are filibustering much floor time they're going to be giving this. But normally...
How does this happen? Like, I want to break this all down. Right. I mean, obviously, we've all discussed this off mic. But people are going to see this imagery and maybe get some false hopes.
Right. So what the Senate will do today is they're going to take a vote to open debate on the bill. That happens before normally any bill goes forward to a full vote. Then they have a cloture vote, which would be the 60 vote threshold to move on to the final bill. And that would be to end debate on it. The Republicans themselves are not expected to want to vote to end it. They're going to keep it open-ended. You see that the majority leader, Senator Thune, this morning has already taken to the well of the Senate and has started giving an open introductory speech. They will then vote, have a test vote, to move on to debate of the bill. And what's going to happen is you're going to see robust speeches from senators in support of this. I assume you will also see Democrats trying to demonize this entire legislation. Once again, the SAVE Act being that voter act, which would require proof of citizenship to register to vote and then ID you are who you say
Maybe
you are at the polling place.
We should reset that for people that don't know. Of course, if you are just tuning in and you haven't been following what our show's been talking about with the SAVE Act, as Will said, this is essentially federalized voter ID mandate.
Right.
That would make all states have to require some kind of voter ID to register. So you'd have to provide more documentation when you register, kind of similar to right now when you have to get your real ID.
Right.
You'll provide a couple of different forms of identification and so on, and then have this form of identification available when you go to vote, if your voting is in person. There would be some exceptions to that rule if you are voting absentee, if you are voting military, whatever it may be. Those would still apply. However, if you're voting in person, which again, you may live in a state like we do where showing an ID to vote is very commonplace.
Right.
I've heard so many different versions of the reasons why this is not acceptable, and no one has ever been able to convince me that this is anything but, you know, propping up voter fraud or propping up some, and it's usually used with some sort of like racism overtones. It's very odd, but it's moving forward. But again, don't hold your breath. I think we need to make sure our audience knows, though, they're going to see this sort of, you know, big push, that still the votes are probably not there.
And we'll even talk about exactly what you'll see and what it will mean, and even what the goal is of having this extended debate when we get back in the next segment on Seculo.
Yeah, we got two guests joining us. We have Aaron Schuss, Christian artist, who we've loved for years and years. He has a brand new record coming out, so you're not going to want to miss that, about Holy Week, as well as Rick Grinnell. He's making some headlines. He's going to be joining us live a little bit later, so stay tuned. Of course, go to ACLJ.org right now if you can while we're in break. We'll be back in just a minute. Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to have your voice heard on the air. We got a couple lines still open. This is a great time to call in and go ahead and get in line. Like I said, on the show today, we got a packed group of guests that are going to be joining us. So if you do want to be on the air, it's a good time to call because we'll be able to take them in the next segment or two. Will, let's restate what's going on. Of course, the current news of the day is the SAVE Act making some waves, actually moving forward in some sense. But again, as panic seems to be coming from the Democrats and the left, we don't want to get people's hopes up that really anything is going to get done more than some razzle dazzle, more than a show, because unfortunately, the votes just don't seem to be there.
That's right, Logan. And what we're going to see here is an extended debate in the U.S. Senate on the SAVE Act. And what that is...
And we do need a preface. 70% of Americans, not Democrats, or I mean, sorry, not Republicans, not just 70% across...
71%.
Thank you for clarifying. 71% across the board think this is a good idea. That would be the biggest landslide election if this was something right. That was on the ballot that you could possibly imagine in today's very fractured environment where politics is very 50-50 right now. If you had anything that hit 70% of the votes, it would be a landslide. But for some reason, this issue has become a political fight where you have the right and the left split completely.
That's right. And when you look at that, that's from a Harvard-Harris poll. So Harris is a polling firm. Harvard University sponsors a lot of these. So it's not like this is a Republican think tank or a Republican political operative that is polling for this data. This is a recent poll that 71% of voters support the SAVE Act, not even just voter ID generally.
That's crazy.
They specifically support this legislation. And it's in the Senate right now. It's going to get extended debate. We have said we support this. We have, through ACLJ Action, have done some work on this. But when you look at that number, it's shocking. And what does the SAVE Act do generally? It says to register to vote, you got to show citizenship. To vote, you have to show an ID. There's some other, obviously, nuances to it because it's a piece of legislation. Those are the top line items. That is what has passed the House. The Senate is now, because of the 60-vote threshold to move on to legislation, what people think of the legislative filibuster, it's stalled because Democrats clearly do not care what their constituents say because 71% of voters... That's scooping up a lot of Democrats that agree with this. I think when they showed the party breakdown in some other polls, it was like 95% of Republicans and still 70% of Democrats say that this legislation is a thing that should move forward. So we're going to see this in the Senate. This is kind of a hybrid move here. The Leader Thune does not believe that we should break the filibuster because, one, it would create in the future circumstances where as soon as next year, this year and next year, when they are sworn in, the legislation that will get pushed through the Senate, obviously President Trump can veto that at that point, but 2 years away from them just pushing through whatever far left policies they want. And why do I think, it will just be the most far left? Because they're not listening to 70% of their party. That means they're only listening to 30% of their party when it comes to common sense legislation like the SAVE Act. So the Democrats only listen to the loudest voices, that 30%, and they will only do what that 30% wants to do instead of listening to the majority of people that got them in office that want something like this on the books. So we're having this extended debate. The goal here is for the Republicans to put an extreme amount of pressure on some vulnerable Democrats whose constituents probably want this by making it something that is talked about, by having this robust debate, by making it once again the greatest deliberative body in the world. That is what the Senate's nickname has been for a long time. You haven't seen a lot of that in recent years. But they are going to do this. Now, what will happen? Most likely, they will end the debate and it will not go forward because of that filibuster, and the Democrats are willing to have this be the hill that they die on when it comes to no voter ID, no proof of citizenship. This is from the minority leader, Chuck Schumer. He said, it is one of the worst things I've seen in America in a very long time. Saying that you have to be a citizen, prove your citizenship to vote and show an ID, that's one of the worst things you've seen in America in a long time. Senator Schumer, with all due respect, I mean, I can name like 10 different things that aren't great, that are worse than saying, let's protect our elections. I think your constituents would probably be able to come up with a pretty good list of policies they don't like, they think that are worse than this. But this is where we're at, Logan.
Yeah, you're very wound up for a St. Patrick's Day, Will.
Well, because it is so ridiculous.
I was hoping for a more, you know, relaxed Will today, but no.
Well, I'm not. I'm fired up because, once again, when you have 71% of the people saying we want something,
it is ridiculous.
That is what they are there to do, to represent the people. That is their job. But they know better than everyone.
Well, and clearly they looked at, again, everything is political. It's always based on votes. So what they looked at was some sort of fringe element that is likely going to be who's going to vote more in the midterms. Who's the actual engaged audience? And that engaged audience is typically more politically leaning, meaning they are more conservative or they are more liberal. They're very rarely are those people that are kind of quietly or comfortably in the middle. They're people that are very actively politically engaged. If you're voting in the midterms, you are actually probably a very small percentage of the American people, plus a very small percentage even of the major registered voters that vote in the midterms. It is a significantly less number that vote. So you're talking about engaging in these moments to get an audience, because that audience is probably more radicalized on one side or the other.
Right.
And they probably are looking at the numbers and saying, our voter base, our Democratic voter base for this coming midterms are those that claim that the voter ID laws are a problem. And again, when they start to go down the list of the reason why it's a problem, I've never been able to convince. I am a pretty open-minded person to listen to both sides of an argument, have my own debate, or have my own internal discussion, own debate, and decide on something. I very rarely just fall on side of a party. But this one, I can almost, I've never been told a reason that I feel like this is inappropriate to have some kind of voter ID, some kind of standardization. Because also, think about how many times you show your ID in a week. It is, I mean, for me, it is probably 5 to 7 times a week I am being told, you know, show my ID, whether it's for a credit card transaction, to pick up medication, whatever it may be. It's second nature. Now, again, I understand that it is different for people in different environments, but you're also saying those people do not have the ability to figure this stuff out. The racist argument over it is inherently racist in itself, and I really dislike that probably more than anything. I do want to take a call really quick, and this will lead into our next segment as well. It's a little bit off, but I think it's important to take. Let's go to Elizabeth in Washington. Elizabeth talking about sort of the Republican Party in general, where we're at right now.
Hi, good morning. So since October 7th, I've had my flag up on Facebook, and the amount of hate that I'm seeing, I only expect it from the left. It's constantly from the right at this point. I'm discussing with lots of people on the right. I listen to a lot of there's a lot of libertarians that really, or the libertarian side of the Republican Party, that feel like this war is basically puppet from Netanyahu, and it's totally disgusting. The amount of hate that I'm seeing against Jews.
That's the thing, Elizabeth. It rarely has to actually do with the politics of Israel. It very rarely has to do with actually the war that's going on. What it is this creeping anti-Semitism that has shown its light. You know, it's not even creeping anymore, to the point where it's no longer just Benjamin Netanyahu's regime, which, by the way, even within Israel is not, you know, universally loved. Let's make sure people understand that. I know people can kind of compartmentalize and go, Israel, bad for some reason. There's tons of people who are much more liberal in Israel when you go there. They are not all lined up with Benjamin Netanyahu. However, he has a lot of supporters as well. But it goes beyond that. It goes well beyond that. It becomes, like we said, historical blood libel. It becomes so much more over the last 6 months even.
Well, and to Elizabeth's point as well, when it comes to the more libertarian leaning parts of the party, as well as the Libertarian Party itself, I personally think that Libertarianism, it philosophically, has great points, is very consistent with traditional conservatism, traditional Republican Party politics. Here's the problem. I follow a lot of libertarian accounts that have made great points throughout the years. Until now.
Yeah.
Well, they always revert to the worst version of themselves and show their true colors, that they're just anti-Semites.
Right. The name libertarian has been hijacked, it feels like. And that's where we're at right now. Look, we're actually going to kind of move our discussion a little bit in the next segment. Not nearly as political.
And we'll get back to
this. But we'll get back to this. We're going to get back to Save Act, but we're going to have our friend Aaron Schuss joining us. Christian music performer. He's been a friend of ours for many, many years. A great, great guy. And he has a new record all about Holy Week that is coming out. And I want to preview that as we go a little bit deeper into exploring that as well. So stay tuned, and then we're going to get back to it. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Get on the air today. We'll be right back.
All the people sing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Strong and mighty.
Welcome back to Secular. I'm excited. Our friend Aaron Schuss is here. Aaron, we've known each other for decades at this point now, and I feel like we've had this kind of conversation for a long time. But what I think is really important in your career and in Christian music in general is you have a very unique and a very different voice, and it's one that right now is exploring a new season. You've been leading trips. We're going to get to that. You've been leading trips through Israel for a couple of years now. You have been a long time, I guess you'd say, supporter of going there and experiencing it and feeling what it's like to be with the people there. And I always say there's a few groups that when we encourage people, because a lot of people come to us and say, well, who can I trust when I am looking at a trip? And I always recommend you or recommend one of our friends like Steve Wiggins, people who I know are kind of with us in some ways in terms of the way Israel is being talked about right now. Hmm. We'll get to that. But I did want to discuss, because you do have a brand new EP that's going to be coming out, is it next Friday?
This Friday.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's Tuesday. This Friday, and it's, I think we have that up on the screen there, is Holy Week. And I was able to listen to it this morning. I got a preview of it. I want people to understand what you're trying to express here.
This is my 11th album, and this Holy Week is just a portion of the 11th album that I'm trying. I love themed albums, right? So the idea of Jesus' earthly ministry, starting from baptism until his eternal throne. So just small topics, you know? But in the middle of that is this Holy Week, where three songs encapsulate like five stories of the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, what I'm calling the Passover suite, where three things happened on one day. You got the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus' actual crucifixion, all on Passover day. And then it culminating, of course, with the resurrection on Sunday morning. So all three of those songs into one EP.
Well, and I feel like at a time like with all the world events going on, it is important, one, to not only be aware of our historical connection and our faith connection to the Middle East and to what's going on, but to also have something fresh and new to explore this in a different way. Does any of that factor in and weigh heavy on you when you're creating this kind of project?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, audiences, we come from different backgrounds. And especially if we're talking about Christians and Jewish backgrounds, one of my favorite things to try to incorporate into a song is recognizing that both audiences are going to be hearing this. So Christian audiences, I want them to understand the deep Jewishness of Jesus. And the fact that he's fulfilling all of these messianic prophecies that we read about in what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures, right? But also for the Jewish audience, I want them to realize, boy, this God that you've only associated with Christianity actually is the fulfillment of all the Hebrew scriptures prophecies. Yeshua was the Messiah, the son of Joseph who suffered. And we believe as Christians, one and the same, who will come back as the triumphant son of David as well. So there's this, how do you meet in the middle, tell the story using scripture to both of these audiences?
Yeah, we've actually had that discussion. People have called in recently being like, look, I am supportive of the Jewish people, especially during right now. How do I talk to them? What do you want me to say? Mm-hmm. We're having those discussions now a lot. It feels almost kind of like it did in the 70s when a lot of this movement started happening. And in a good way. I'm like, they're like, should we tell them about Jesus? What should we do? I'm like, well, yeah, you definitely should. But when you have opportunities like what you're presenting, I think that even gives you, through music, a maybe a softer entry point.
Yeah, it's definitely a softer entry point. And I think there's, you know, in a sense, I am subtly proselytizing, but not just a Christian to a Jewish direction, but also a Christian to my fellow Christians. Let's consider the scriptures. And that's another thing that makes, I think, these songs specifically unique, is I'm trying to use as much scripture as possible to tell the story.
Yeah. And then we're going to promote it, and it'll be obviously out this Friday, and people can get that. Because I want to talk about your Israel work as well.
Cool.
People can get that through all the streaming platforms. Is there any specific place that
Absolutely.
Is better for you?
If you go to aaronschuss.com, it'll direct you to all the places that you like to listen to music.
All right. We'll make sure it's all linked, because I think that is incredibly important when you have new music. One, when you know there's solid background behind the person making it as well. I think that's very important. And you've been one of those great voices over the last few decades now doing that, which is amazing. But you also have been a consistent person, again, going to Israel. I know half the time I feel like I'm texting you. You're like, oh, I'm here. I'm about to be there. I don't want to, I'm going over. Because not only are you going yourself to experience it and your friends and family that you now have there, I feel like, but also you've been leading these tours. And I think it's important. And I've been telling people, look, I know it's interesting time right now in the world, but start to look at planning, because it is important for people to experience this firsthand.
I've had friends that have told me every Christian needs to go to Israel. And I couldn't agree with that more. I've grown up studying the Bible. I went to Bible college, going to Sunday school when I was a kid. I know these stories. Like I've often said, like my heroes were not Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. My heroes were Abraham and David and Samson, and maybe not Delilah, but Deborah. We'll say Deborah. It was only 10 years ago that I first stepped foot in the land. And that changed everything. You hear the analogies of it changes your Bible reading from two-dimensional to three-dimensional, or from black and white to color. That couldn't be more true. And I knew that I wanted to go back. I wanted to not just experience the things that I read of in the past, but to experience the people today, because I do believe that God's promises are true. And I think that's really what's at stake. It's not necessarily about, do you align with the current government of modern day Israel? I didn't align with the government of ancient Israel, King Saul, King whatever, name them. But God was faithful throughout. And when God says he's going to do something, I believe he's going to carry through with it. And that's why I stand with Israel today.
Yeah. And then you're leading tours. People can go with you to Israel.
Oh, man, we had a great time this past October. We have a great tour guide who just knows too much. And she's fantastic. And she's 72 years old, but nobody can keep up with her. You follow that? So there's a little bit of walking and exploring.
It's a physical place when you're going. Yeah.
Yeah, but also deeply, deeply spiritual. You know, things like good and evil seem to be magnified in that place. And I don't know how to describe that, but that's what it feels like. And I've always felt safe. I've even been there since October 7th, when, you know, there were still things flying, and I've always felt mysteriously safe.
Yeah,
you know,
I felt the same every time we've been. It's been a number of years since I've been able to go, since we've had children. We were planning on going very recently and had to delay it, but I feel that way absolutely on the street. So we only have a couple minutes left. How can people look at trips to go with you? Because I think that though this may be a weird time to be thinking about it, I think they should be.
You know, God calls the land of Israel and Jerusalem specifically Zion. So that's the word we use. Landofzion.org is where we have our homepage and all the information to join us.
Landofzion.org, aaronschust.com for the music. I like to put a kind of stamp of approval on people that I trust, especially when it comes to Israel, because we get a lot of people asking, and I understand right now with politics being the way it is, with faith being the way it is, and not sure even where your church sometimes aligns with this, not sure who you're signing up to go with. I put my stamp behind Aaron. He has been, a continual supporter, and also just a really great scholar of the Bible who understands this more than a lot of people that you're going to be touring with. So I encourage people to do that. And the same with your music. I love your music, but also I love that there is someone behind it who really is doing the research. When I'm getting, again, texts from you and the comments from you, I know that you're not taking any of this lightly.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So again, check out Aaron, support his work. Look, we do have a second half hour coming up, but yeah, put that up on the screen. Holy Week, it comes out this Friday. It's an EP. It's a fun listen, actually, though there are some dark elements, especially in the Passover time. It is still a fun listen that your family's going to enjoy with some really deep roots. So check it out. aaronschust.com, Land of Zion. If you want to start looking at a trip to Israel, which again, it may not be this year for you, but we encourage you to do that trip at some point in your life. It is, I think, like you said, every Christian should do it. I couldn't agree more. Look, we have a second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station, find us broadcasting on aclj.org, YouTube, Rumble, however you get your podcast, we are there. But again, let's listen to a little bit of Aaron as we head out of here. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. Thanks to Aaron Schust for joining us. That was excellent. If you are looking for a great, you know, music celebration, not just his brand new music. I mean, he's got 20 years of back catalog that is fantastic. You probably know My Savior, My God, and some of his other hits throughout the years. But again, a guy who's gone really deep. That is at AaronSchust.com. That being said, we're going to be taking calls and comments coming up. 1-800-684-3110. And Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us in the next segment. Rick's been making a lot of headlines. We're going to talk about him right here. But Will, we want to pivot a little back to the SAVE Act because we know a lot of you are just tuning in right now. We saw some comments saying, what's the update?
That's right. So once again, the SAVE Act, that is the legislation that would require proof of citizenship to register to vote, as well as a photo ID when voting, is being debated on the Senate floor. And this should be an extended debate. They're looking at least a week, maybe two. There's no real end time to it. However, it is still expected to fail, to not move forward in the Senate. So the awareness campaign, the conservatives that really believe in this are trying to push this to the forefront of the American people's minds. We also know that from polling, 71% of voters agree with this. Even the party split, it's 95% conservative, and then the liberals or Democrats that are registered, they still believe 70% that this should be the law of the land. But yet, Democrats are saying things like the minority leader, Chuck Schumer, saying this is one of the worst things we've seen in America in a very long time. They call this Jim Crow 2.0. They always have to revert to saying that something is racist in order to make sure the American people don't want it to pass. However, we know where the American people stand on this. They're not listening to their constituents. They're not listening to the voters that put them in office. And so you have to wonder, what's going on? Why? Why is something that seems common sense something that they are so opposed to that they have to demonize it and say that it is literally the worst thing you can imagine? This is so terrible for our country to protect our elections.
Well, the idea of bipartisanship seems to be completely gone. I mean, there's not, if you can't agree on an issue that 70% of the American people are agreeing with as the, you know, as the Senate, as the House, or whatever it may be, if you're representing those people and you're not truly representing them because you've decided that there cannot be bipartisanship, then we have a stalemate of government.
Let's play this bite real quick. This is from Leader Thune this morning, opening this up before they vote to open debate. This is bite 12, and he poses a question to Democrats.
Mr. President, did Democrats hear themselves? Are they going to start boycotting libraries and airplanes and hotels and for requiring a photo ID? Are they going to explain why they're perfectly justified in requiring photo ID for their political rallies? Why it's somehow an intolerable burden to ask people to show their photo ID when they go to vote? I expect they won't. They'll simply continue with their mindless partisan opposition to common sense ID requirements for federal elections.
And once again, Logan, it also shows the hypocrisy. If it truly were such an insurmountable burden for many people because this legislation is racist, then their political rallies are just as racist. Like, that is the logical conclusion. However, they don't deal in logic or rational thought. They deal only in political expediency. And that is what you're seeing here because their party has decided we don't want to protect federal elections because it would be bad for us. Yep. And that's what you're seeing here.
When we get back, Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us. Get on hold right now because after Rick, I'm going to take as many calls as I can. 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue this discussion. We also can talk to Rick about some other things, but this is obviously top of the news for a lot of you, and a lot of you are just joining us right now, and I appreciate that. If you are just joining us and you've never seen us before, we know about 50% of the people that watch live never seen us before. Hit that subscribe button. It's a great way to support the work of the ACLJ, and of course, you've been with us for a long time. I haven't asked you today, but I'm going to appreciate you doing it. It is still Double Your Impact Month. If you can, donate today and have your donation effectively doubled right now at aclj.org. Your tax-deductible donation doubled today during Double Your Impact Drive. Scan the QR code or go to aclj.org right now. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell. Welcome back to Seculo. We do have some phone lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. Love for you to get on hold right now. We'll take your calls and comments coming up. Rick Grinnell's joining us right now. Obviously, longtime contributor here to Seculo and to the ACLJ. Rick, making some headlines, of course, this week as you are moving on to other things outside of the Kennedy Center. And, of course, the news decided to jump at that at a pretty aggressive way, as they seem to with Rick. But let's hear how President Trump spoke about you just yesterday.
Before we begin, I want to thank Rick Grinnell. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's been unbelievable. He went to the, he was the ambassador, as you know, to Germany. There was no happier woman in the world than Angela Merkel. Angela. She called me, thank you, sir, thank you. Although she liked Rick a lot, there was nobody happier that he was no longer going to be the ambassador to Germany. He was difficult for them. He was not your typical ambassador. He was the opposite. He would do what was best for the United States, not for Germany.
So, Rick, that is the president of the United States yesterday. While we were live on air watching up on the monitor we have, we saw you sitting there. But a reporter I saw, you know, you had a little back and forth text exchange. But this was the headline that reporter decided to run with after, you know, hearing the way the president spoke about you. A hard knock life. The Trump cabinet hopeful is moved off stage. Meanwhile, this is how the New York Times reported this morning on the killing of Ali Larijani, the head in Iran, that said, Mr. Larijani was an influential pragmatist who was seen as having the clout to negotiate with the United States. Why is this newspaper still in publication?
You know, I tend to have fun with the New York Times and with this reporter, Elizabeth Williamson. I have a long history with her. She's written like four or five what she would call profile pieces, what I would just call silly hit jobs. She loves me. She just can't get enough of me. It's crazy. But she also attacks constantly, you know, anybody in the administration. She's a complete fraud and phony. So I took to X and I shared with the public exactly my comment to her. It was a brutal comment about her biasness, and not shocking at all, she printed in the paper that I had no comment. I thought, I did have a comment. You just didn't like my comment. Yeah. And this is the way they work. This is what they do. They just completely lie and manipulate. It's, I think President Trump is right. It's not fake news. It's fraud news. Total corruption.
Well, and Rick, even to that point, and you even pointed out to her, are you sure that your editor would be okay with this? Because you gave her a response and she says, all right, we will say that you had no comment. I mean, where's the ethics there? That's lying to your audience. And they seem completely fine with that.
Yeah, I got a text message from a New York Times reporter this morning that I thought was really interesting. And he said, and this is somebody that I think is a legitimate intelligence reporter, and he said to me, everyone knows that she is very left. And for someone at the New York Times to admit that, you know that you're really working with somebody who has a hard edge agenda. So I like the fact that I get under her skin. I like the fact that she, you know, has to talk about me. I clearly am impacting Elizabeth Williamson somehow. She really can't get enough of me, and I kind of enjoy it.
Well, it's been kind of an interesting watch over the last few days, Rick, to see kind of how everything has unfolded. I saw even one report that's like, you know, he was never spent any time at the Kennedy Center. I was like, well, he was on our show just about every week from the Kennedy Center. Right. So I'm not sure what we're talking about here. It's where you can just point out the obviousness. But of course, your work doesn't stop. You've got so much going on, and I'm sure there is more around the corner.
For sure. You know, I love this president. I love the disruptiveness of his policies in Washington, and so I'll always be a cheerleader and always be a part of it. So
he and I are talking about what's next, and I would just say stay tuned.
Absolutely.
I like when Rick says stay tuned, because there's always going to be something.
You know, it's something good.
He most of the time doesn't give us a heads up. All of a sudden, we have to see it in the papers. We're like, well, there he goes. He'll be very busy. But, Rick, another thing that we've been talking about today on the broadcast is the fact the Senate is going to have this extended debate on the SAVE Act. This is something that, obviously, you've been a proponent of. You've talked for years on this show about needing voter ID, needing these securities within our election system in the United States. And this article I read once from The Hill, it had a Harvard-Harris poll that cited 71% of voters support the legislation, the Save America Act. So not even a hypothetical to, you know, 2,000 random Americans, but voters about the specific legislation. And yet you're having the minority leader, Chuck Schumer, of course they are vowing to block it, say this is one of the worst things we've seen in America in a very long time. When did people that are elected by their constituents to represent them decide that they are smarter than them and need to stop representing them in Congress?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is such a crazy issue, because the public, even Democrats, support it. Luckily, we in California have this great strategist, Carl DeMaio, who has put on the ballot for this year a ballot initiative that asks voters in California, do you want to have a voter ID for people to vote? It will overwhelmingly pass. And so we're excited to have voter ID in California. It should be in every state. This is something that you know, other countries mock us for, that literally you don't have an ID to vote, and it's a guaranteed law of don't ask someone for their ID. It's complete fraud, manipulation, and corruption. And everybody sees it, except for the Democrats that are working really hard to make sure that we don't have IDs to vote in America. It's a crazy, crazy policy, but they're pushing it.
Rick, one final topic shift here for you as we wrap up today. But this goes to the fact that even I mentioned that the New York Times, you know, said that Larijani was an influential pragmatist who was seen as having the clout to negotiate with the United States.
For people that don't know, that is.
That was one of the cabinet members, essentially, in Iran, a part of their national security. Very powerful, been around a long time, was a Quds Force leader, so not a good person, was taken out in an airstrike. But you're seeing it being reported like that in the New York Times. Many of the American papers you'd read that America is losing this war, effectively, that they were caught off guard, they didn't know what's going on. Meanwhile, the voice of reason, oddly, seems to be coming from Al Jazeera. This was an opinion piece that was put out last night that talks about the framing in much of mainstream media. And then this individual says, when you look at what has actually happened to Iran's principal instruments of power, its ballistic missile arsenal, its nuclear infrastructure, its air defenses, its navy, its proxy command architecture, the picture is not one of U.S. failure. It is one of systematic phase degradation of a threat that previous administrations allowed to grow for four decades. Rick, we're hearing the truth from places like Al Jazeera. We cannot trust our media. This is a bizarre time to be living in, but what is the important thing that American people need to take home with this whole situation?
Yeah, it was really shocking to read his piece. I had it sent to me by several people. And look, the reality is we have crushed the Iranian regime's ability to conduct terror. It's not completely done yet. But it's very close. I think by any objective observer, you can see that we went in and really hit them hard, devastated so much. Now we in the public just wait to see what the intel will show. And one thing that we can be sure of is that President Trump is on top of this. He'll look at the intel. He'll respond. He'll get the job completely done. We will have a degraded and completely flattened radical regime in Iran. It will make the world safer. It will make America safer. And I think right now we can just trust the president when he says he wants this to be over in a couple of weeks. He's not going to put, you know, boots on the ground and do some sort of long-term war. That's not who he is.
Yeah, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, a lot of people commenting. There's so many people watching right now who maybe have never seen us before saying, hey, you know, what about the draft? What about all these things? They're getting fed a lot of different information through a lot of different sources. And we hope you join us here because we're always going to shoot straight with you. We're going to give you the honest opinions and honest conversation of what's actually happening around the world. So if you're brand new to our show, I encourage you right now to hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, wherever it may be. If you want to call in, we got one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. But support the work of the ACLJ today if you're a longtime listener, longtime supporter of our work. You can have your impact doubled right now during the Double Your Impact Month. All donations are matched by other ACLJ supporters right now for this month. So do it today at ACLJ.org. Welcome to Secular. Last segment of the day. We're going to take calls coming up, but Will wanted to address quickly the draft situation because we saw some comments coming in about the sort of internet, you'd say maybe virality of a potential draft.
And yet people keep talking about a draft. Here's the one thing. We invaded two countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, boots on the ground for long 20-year plus wars. People kept signing up for the military throughout the entire thing. There was never a draft. For that, there's not going to be a draft for an air campaign in Iran. And even if there were boots on the ground to go into Iran, the military recruiting is at an all-time high under this administration. There is no need for a draft if they were to send boots on the ground.
There you go.
But that's not what the plan seems to be right now.
All right. Will wanted to address that. And now I want you to address us. Let's go to Jim first up. On line one, Jim, go ahead. Watch it on Facebook.
Yes. Hi, Jim. I'm from New Hampshire. Our state legislature here is predominantly Republican, but our federal senators and congressional reps are all Democrats. I'm a little concerned that the state has refused to turn over our voter rolls. I'm not sure why that even makes sense if it's on the up and up. That being said, on the SAVE Act, I've contacted my senators and Leader Thune via their websites, and I've gotten zero back. So what are your options when it's basically we're predominantly a GOP state from a state level, but when it comes to a federal level,
They may not be calling you back for a reason. Jim, look, they have to log every time you call in or people call in. So I would say, don't quit and be a part of it. You know, you don't want to be rude. You don't want to be obnoxious to anybody, but if you want to be consistent, I think there's nothing wrong with being consistent, calling your representatives, emailing them wherever they are, remind them. And of course, share content, share shows like ours, get the word out more as much as possible. I know it can feel like an uphill battle, but it's important for them to hear from you. And like you said, you have, you know, local conservative representation, and then you have the statewide, which is more liberal. I think a lot of people have that.
And it's if it's something you want your elected representative to vote for, call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, or just Google Capitol switchboard and ask them to put you through to your representative. They will send you right to their office.
Representative.
When you talk to someone, say, I am calling today. I am a resident of New Hampshire, and I want to let my senator know that I want them to vote for this legislation. You can do that with anything. Yeah. And when they hear from people, enough people, hopefully they'll realize what the constituents want and not what their party wants and do what you want them to do.
Don't be dissuaded.
They're your representative.
Absolutely. Let's continue on. We'll try to take some more calls. Tim, Colorado. Go ahead, Tim.
Thanks for taking my call. I have two items I'd like you to address. The weightier question first is, are there any constitutional issues or principles at play with the SAVE Act where a federally a law passed at the federal level would contradict or take away rights the states should have constitutionally? And second of all, how are the Democrats going to reply to say we don't want ID when Mondami in New York says you have to have two IDs just to shovel snow?
Of course. Tim, when Mondami said his response to that was, well, that's longstanding tradition. That's what we've had here. Of course, it's ridiculous to even look at it, the comparison, and say, of course, to shovel snow, you had to have the same kind of proof of identification as that we were requesting to vote. Now, that being said, about the sort of issues between state rights and the federal rights, of course, there has always been an issue with federalizing these sort of standards. There have been concerns about that, understandably.
The difference is that the federal government wouldn't be the one operating the elections. It's still the states that operate their own elections. This would just be what the baseline standards are. But you know what you can guarantee, Tim? 100%. If the SAVE Act were to pass, they would sue. They would sue and try to take it to the Supreme Court to say it's unconstitutional. The Federal Election Commission and can't mandate these things, and law can't mandate these things. But once again, the Federal Election Commission has standards for all sorts of things. How much money you can give as an individual. That all those things are still at the federal level. Many of them are just our rules, didn't even necessarily go through legislative process. And those have not been per se overturned. Now, some things are when the federal government overreaches, but I don't think that there would be an issue here with this.
All right. Thank you for calling, Tim. We're going to try to get through a few more of these. Let's go to Derek, who's calling line three on YouTube. Derek, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Really appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
I absolutely agree with the SAVE Act. After 250 years, I don't think there should be any doubt in our elections. I live in Michigan. I seriously think we have problems up here. It really needs to be addressed. I think it will help correct the voter roll. And then my question was from yesterday's show.
Okay.
Why is it that because of the war, it's pushing the price of oil and gas up, but they were already under strict tariffs, and basically the only place they could sell oil to was China?
Derek, quick, I can answer that quickly because we do want to get to other callers. The reason is because a lot of the oil that isn't just from Iran, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman,
funneled,
goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And when there is pressure on that, that is decreasing the supply that is leaving. That's about 20% of the world's oil comes from the Persian Gulf.
I've actually been trying to protect it, but Iran is stopping
that. On top of that, if Iran's oil cannot be sold to Russia and China, then that means that they're going to have to buy it from somewhere else, driving up demand for oil. When demand goes up, the prices are going up as well. When the supply cannot meet that demand, many other simple economic things.
It seems pretty easy.
But also, it should come back down.
Yeah.
The markets are reacting to uncertainty in the marketplace. That doesn't mean that those are baked in forever.
Yeah, we understand it hurts, but you know, hopefully that will change soon. Michael, Florida, real quick, Michael, run out of time.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. I say we let these senators jump on the floor, go through the filibuster process, and let the campaign ads simply write themselves.
Yeah, Michael, I think that would not necessarily be a bad idea. I think a lot of people like to see it. But again, is it a waste of time at the end of the day? Maybe so.
Well, here's also part of the problem, as you brought up earlier in the show, Logan, is that the people that are the most motivated to vote in a midterm are typically the more passionate, maybe more radical part of your party. So unfortunately for the midterms, it is a margins game because there isn't a large national election. You're trying to get a better margin of people that are more motivated to vote. And I think for some people on the left, stopping the SAVE Act is kind of a motivating factor. That 30% we talked about.
Hey, I want to quickly take Mary. And Mary, we got like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. I'm sorry, running out of time. But I like your comment. I want to make sure you get on the air. Go ahead.
Well, basically, I wanted to say that I wish more people would listen to ACLJ because y'all are the ones that tell the truth and you give it in the proper perspective. And if more people listened to y'all, there would be no doubt in my mind that the Save America Act would win.
Well, Marion, I'm glad you said exactly what you're going to say, and I appreciate that so much. A proper way to wrap up a St. Patrick's Day show, Will, with praise.
Top of the morning to you.
There you go, Marion. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who's watched and listened today. If you're brand new, as I said, hit that subscribe button. We do the show each and every day, Monday to Friday, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Be a part of that show. You can always call in. You can always support. But if you've been with us a long time, great time to give at ACLJ.org. All of this is because of you. You support the show. You support our legal work. ACLJ.org. Gifts doubled throughout the month.